It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Welcome to Border Crossings live in downtown D.C. Today is a very special day. We have in our studios with us today a music legend who is on the road with his band promoting a brand new album and bringing some great memories back to all of his fans who come out here in the United States to cheer him on. John Lodge of the Moody Blues is with us. So stick around. It's John Lodge on today's Border Crossings. Show, we would like to welcome to Washington, D.C. and to the VOA studios a music icon, John Lodge, who you will certainly know from the big hits that he gave us with the Moody Blues, is on tour once again. John, welcome to D.C.
Thank you very much, Larry.
It's great to have you here, and I think you recently, in the last year or so, put out your second album?
Yes, second album. This one's live from Birmingham, Birmingham, England, where I was born, an iconic venue there called the Birmingham Town Hall, where I saw all of American rock and roll greats, the Eddie Cochran's when I was like 12. But for me, it was Buddy Holly. I was actually Buddy Holly sort of tuned my life. And I had tickets in the front row of the balcony to see Buddy Holly and the Crickets. And when I finished my English tour last year, I said to the agent, I want to finish at Birmingham Town Hall, stand on that stage where Buddy Holly was, looking back up at a young Johnny Lodge in the front row of the balcony. And perhaps there's another young Johnny Lodge up there who 20 years' time will become a musician as well. So who knows?
Well, you know, you have influenced so many people around the world for not only the great songwriting and all the big hits, but for your bass guitar playing, which that's kind of what started this for you, right? You and the bass.
Yeah, absolutely. I was fascinated by the left-hand side of the piano of people like the late Fats Domino, Little Richard, and I wondered what was driving all this music, and it was that left-hand side of the boogie piano. And when I bought my first acoustic guitar with steel strings, though, I was learning all these bottom-end boogie playing, and I thought, that's what I want to do. And then bass guitars were not in England at the time, but I did see a band called the Treniers in a great movie called The Girl Can't Help It, and the guy in there was playing a Fender Telecaster bass. And I thought, that's what I need. And I was walking past my music shop, where every young musician does every Saturday morning. You look at all these wonderful guitars. And there in the window it said, direct from America, Fender Precision Bass. And I was 15 years of age. I remember rushing home to my dad and saying, Dad, please, you've got to come with me.
Wow.
I'll pay you back, Dad, honestly. And I bought that bass, and I've still got it. It features on my new album, and I recorded nearly every Moody Blues song with that precision bass.
Wow.
And it's just a beautiful instrument.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like family to you. You've had it for so long.
It is real family. I was writing a book, and it starts with, your best friend is your musical instrument.
Mm. Do you have a name for it? I mean, Eric Clapton's named his. Have you?
No names? It's just my Fender Precision Bass. And people try to say they're called P basses. Uh-huh. No, they're not. It's a precision bass.
Well, John Lodge is our guest, and he's brought his band with him. And you want to introduce the musicians you got with you?
Yeah, we've got Duffy here on guitar, Duffy King. Nora Mullen on flute. And Alan Hewitt on keyboards, and our musical director. So that's more money you owe me.
Well, we welcome you all to DC, and John, if you wouldn't mind doing a number for us, we would love
great.
To
get me out of here.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is there nothing I can say that'll make you change your mind? Walking in this cold and lonely room, heaven only knows what lies and waits outside my door. Guess I'm gonna find out real soon. I can feel a cold wind blowing, coming under my door. Get me out of. Will there ever come a day when I know I've changed the way I feel? Something's gotta give, gotta get me some room. Maybe there's a time when I know I've changed the way I feel. How can I hang on till then? Love is like a dying ember burning into my soul. Get me out of.
John Lodge and the band. It's great to have you here in D.C., and you sound as great as ever. Well, I mean, your voice brings back so many memories, and what, a little more than five decades.
Yeah, 51 years of the Moody Blues, and this year is 50 years of Days of Future Past, our first album. And we've been traveling with the Moodies, performing the album as well.
Wow, and it was just last year when you did your first solo tour. All these years and just last year, finally solo.
Yeah, I recorded an album in the 70s called Natural Avenue. And, as a songwriter, when you write a song, you want to record it. Then afterwards, to complete the circle, you need to get on that stage and perform it to an audience and see if the audience have an emotion, an emotional tie with you. That's the most important thing, for an artist. And I never did that with Natural Avenue because we went straight in the studios and made a new Moody Blues album. But with this album, 10,000 Light Years Ago, I was determined to get on the road and complete that circle and hopefully get the audience to enjoy the songs as well, And we had a great tour in England. And while we were in England, of course, our American fans said, John, why are you only in England? You've got to come over here. So here I am. And
across the pond.
Yeah, we recorded the show in Birmingham, as we say. And, those days in Birmingham was a song I wrote on that about me growing up. And here we are, so live from Birmingham album.
You have written so many songs, so many hit songs. We're going to talk more about that as we go. But going back, how did you and Justin get together? How did you guys decide to put together the Moody Blues? How'd that come to be?
Well, the Moody Blues had existed before. Ray Thomas, the flute player in the Moody Blues, and I had a band before that called Al Riot and the Rebels. And we did wear Mexican outfits. And we did have sombreros. And but in those days, I was like 15 years of age, and Ray was a bit older than me. He won't mind me saying that. And we had a band for about 4 years, no record contract. But I was at school. I was born in Birmingham, which, we talked about Detroit earlier. Birmingham is second motor city, and because we have all the cars in Birmingham in those days. We still do. Jaguar and Range Rover and all those things. And but I wanted to be a car designer from when I was about six. So I was at college, and Ray said to me one day, we're going to form this great group with some other people and go down to London and make a record. He said, you coming along? I said, I've got another year to go at college. I said, and I like to finish things what I'm doing. So I carried on at college. They had a fantastic hit, of course, with Bessie Banks, and Go Now. And about a year later, Ray rang me up one day out of the blue and said, have you finished college yet? I said, yeah, I've just finished, actually. He said, well, get down to London and form the old band back together.
Wow.
So I went down, he said, and he introduced me to Justin. He said, this is Justin, he's going to be on guitar. And we became friends straight away, and we hit off straight away. We two totally different people. He came from sort of acoustic guitar folk background, really, and I came from a rock and roll background, but the two of us working together, we combined the two things, I think, that sort of put the Moody Blues where we are, I suppose.
And as soon as you joined, you wrote immediately hits like Ride My Seesaw and Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band and so many other hits as well. Do you have a favorite Moody Blues song that something that's fond to you?
Okay, yeah. Well, I would, for Moody Blues' favorite song, I'd have to say Nights in White Satin. I didn't write that. Justin wrote that. But it was the first one, and something that's first is always, really important. But for me, my own songs, it would be two, really, because they're two sides of the spectrum. And it'd be Isn't Life Strange? And it would be I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band.
Wow. It gives me chills, just to hear you talk about these songs. These songs were so important and played such a big role in a lot of people's lives. And, of course, you won the Ivor Novello Award as well. So that's very prestigious. For those around the world who may not know it, I mean, that is a very prestigious award.
It is. It's a great honor. When you're sitting with a blank piece of paper and a pencil, 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking, I wish I could write this song. And then you write the song. And then to think that recording has actually gone into someone else's life And they've said, no, I think we should nominate you for something. You know, it's a great feeling, but it's not what you go after.
Right.
I just want to go after playing bass.
Right. You know, and make enough money to buy all those cars you like.
Well,
you've got quite a collection.
Well, because, you know, wanting to be a car designer, I've just been fascinated by cars all my life. And I went to a grammar school in England for people in England. And while I was at grammar school, my French wasn't very good. We had to do French and German and everything else. And my French teacher said to me one day, I always called you by surname in England, Lodge, I think you should study the French motor industry, preferably in English. So that's what I did, and I spent a year designing facial vehicle cars, you know, all the French car industry and the Citroëns. But he was quite right, you know, but... he was right to tell me to do that because he got it out of my system.
Right.
Because I was drawing cars, and then the whole car industry thing changed in the 60s anyway. Mm-hmm. It became almost computer generated. Mm. So all the instinct of great car design disappeared.
In addition to the cars, John has a love for wine.
Oh.
To drink and to create.
Yeah, no, I was fascinated by wine, not just wine, but the countries where it comes from, you know. And the French have a great word. It's called terroir, and it just doesn't it translates to land or earth, but it doesn't mean that. It means the whole thing, and it's about rock. It's like rock and roll, really. It's not about one thing. It's about everything. And the first time I came to America, I went up to Sonoma and Napa, and it's one of the most beautiful parts of the country I've ever seen.
Wine country.
And many years later, I met some people who said, shall we make a wine together? And I said, that'd be great, you know. So we made a red wine, called it Chrissima, after my son Christian and Emily, my daughter. So we called it that wine. And then I went to France. And I used to go to Burgundy a lot, and to a great surprise one year, they made me a Chevalier de Tastevin. So I got the cup, the stirrup, you know, around my neck. So that was great. And then I went to Bordeaux, and we made a red wine out of Bordeaux. And a couple of years ago, we went to South Africa, and we made a Chardonnay called Chrissima. And... Emily, my daughter, runs all of this, not me. Emily and my wife have got far better palates than I have. And we actually won the gold award for the best wine out of South Africa, which was just absolutely amazing.
Right.
You know? So, but it's fun. It's fun. And, yeah, it's fun.
What's your first love with all of these things? Songwriting, the performing, the wines, the cars...
I'd actually get in trouble here, wouldn't I? Really?
You will get a little?
I would get in trouble.
Somebody's going to be upset. No, yeah. It doesn't matter who it is.
Okay. I started with my bass, so my bass is my first love, but equally and better is my family.
Ah, well stated. John Lodge is here from the Moody Blues. Would you guys do another song for us?
Yeah.
Simply Magic?
Oh, actually, this is talking about family, this is a song I wrote for my grandson when he was born. And it's on the new album. It's actually on the live album as well. But when I read the lyrics after I'd written it, you know, in life, we all seem to... everybody seems to talk about when things are going wrong. You know, you see it on the television all the while and the news, everything's going wrong. But why can't it all be going great? And then something else comes along, makes it even better. And I suddenly realised that's what these lyrics are about. And it's called Simply Magic. Just when I thought nothing could get song I thought I'd never get to write. Simply magic. Simply magic. There's no other word.
Very, very nice. So you get influence from all kinds of things. I mean, everywhere. Your grandson and everywhere. And where's the strangest place you ever got influence for a song?
Strangest place? Not the strangest, but one of the... Isn't Life Strange we were talking earlier. Lionel Bart was a friend of mine, and I went round to, used to go around to his house, and he had this wonderful piano called a Damon. It was a baby grand piano. And he said to me one day, he said, John, you should buy one of these pianos because they've only got two pedals. So I'm not a pianist, but I can write on piano, And he said, so I bought this piano, and I was having dinner one night with some friends in my house, and this grand piano was sitting in my drawing room in my home, and I could hear this tune in my head. I said to everyone, excuse me, I went on the piano and I played nearly all of Isn't Life Strange in one go on this piano.
Wow.
First song I'd ever written on the piano. The lyrics, though, all of the lyrics were Isn't Life Strange, Isn't Life Strange, Isn't Life Strange, Isn't Life Strange. I didn't get any more lyrics. But I just kept that as the tempo, you know, the feel of the song. And I went back and sat down and I said to my wife, I think I've just written a new song. And of course, she came on talking to all her friends, you know. But when you wake up the next morning, that's when you know if you've written a song. Go and play it then early, very early in the morning, because if it still works, mm-hmm. it's a song.
And hopefully you haven't forgotten it.
And you haven't forgotten
it. Right. Right. Depending on how much fun you're having the night before.
That's right. Yeah.
So, John Lodge, I know you guys are going to do that song for us in a few minutes, but I wanted to ask some more questions about your life, your career. Where were you when you heard your music on the radio for the first time?
We were talking earlier about the BBC. Mm-hmm. The BBC had... a no-needle philosophy or license. The unions wouldn't let them play records all the while during the day. So what used to happen, the BBC, just like here, had their own studios. So they used to have to ask you to come in and record some songs so they could play by tape. That way they got over the union problem. Mm-hmm. So that's where I first heard any of my songs. Was really at the BBC. Hmm. And all these, so we used to go and record everything on a two-track machine.
Wow. So it wasn't like you were driving in your car and there it came and you weren't expecting it. It was because you were already there at the BBC.
Yeah, I didn't have a radio in the car. In those days.
Now, you mentioned about a book. You're writing a book or have written a book?
No, I was started writing a book.
You started it? What's it going to be called?
Originally, it was called Play in a Flash. I thought that was a good idea, you know, because most people want to do everything straight away.
Sure.
And the idea was to circumnavigate how to play, learn what you want to play, mm-hmm. learn the song, or learn the chords. And then if you get really excited, then you start to develop, then you start to investigate, then you try to find out why it works. Mm-hmm. And... It's the way I learned to play. There was no rock and roll. No one could teach you rock and roll in England when I was growing up. And like all the guys in England, the Claptons, everything, we all had to teach ourselves, really, because rock and roll, no one could teach you. You had to learn it, find out how a guitar worked. And so I spent endless hours in my bedroom trying to work out. And we had a great time in England, that because there was a time of skiffle. And it's very English. Mm-hmm. And it was taking American songs, but playing them in coffee bars with what were called beatniks at the time. And it's very simple. And one-string chords, really. And when you started to learn those one-string chords, then you started to add all the other notes. And then I found the bass part.
So you didn't want to write an autobiography, or that hasn't? Because I'm sure you have more stories to tell about your career and working with all the other artists that you've worked with. Did you ever work with Elvis?
No, we worked from the same office though with Elvis.
In the same office?
Yeah,
the
same office with the late Jerry Weintraub, and that was great. But
you did work with the Stones.
Yeah, we worked with everybody.
Regularly.
The Beatles, the Stones, the Beatles. And, we did one of the very first concerts Ray and I did when we were Al Wright and the Rebels. Actually, Mike Pinder played keyboards for us for a while as well. But we were at a place we used to play near Birmingham, about 40 miles south of Birmingham in England. And we used to play in our sombreros and our Mexican outfits. And the promoter said one day, "Oh, we've got someone else who's top of the bill this week." And we said, "Why?" They said, "Well, they've got a record contract and they've just recorded a song called Love Me Do." And it was the Beatles. And I think they got 100, 150 guineas and we got 40 guineas.
Wow.
That's a long time ago. But still got the photograph of that night as well.
Wow.
With us all together, so
And you became friends
times.
With these guys? I mean, you and Paul McCartney hung out together?
You don't really hang out very much with people. You meet them all, mm-hmm. and you do things together, and you say, "Yeah, we'll do that." And then suddenly they're on the road, or you're on the road, or in the studio. But it's a very parochial thing, the music business. You get to know people, and you become friends. And when you see each other again, whether it may be on the road, bumping into each other at hotels, It seemed to come together straight away again. It's like that time you haven't seen them. It's disappeared.
Brings it all back again.
It brings it all back.
What's your favorite memory from your career?
Oh, there is a lot. There is a lot. Probably when we stopped. We had a break in between the first seven albums. We had a break off. And then we released an album called Octave. And then we released an album called Long Distance Voyager. And it went to number one in America. And when people said rock and roll wouldn't last, and there it was, like, from 66 and suddenly it's almost 1980 and the record's number one. And we play in Madison Square Garden. And I think that was it, probably. Madison Square Garden, then. We did two concerts in the same day. I don't think anyone's ever done that. And we were awarded a golden ticket for that one concert. Well, the two concerts. But it was great seeing, we were the cause of the traffic jam in New York. Yeah, we got our own back before it all began.
There you go.
People coming out. 20-odd thousand people coming out, 20-odd thousand people trying to get back in.
Now, when somebody who comes from the background you come from and having accomplished everything you accomplished and being a part of 5 decades of the evolution of rock and music, when you look at today's music and you look at what's going on in music and, bands One Direction and things like that, what does somebody who created, who paved the way, created the opportunity for these kids to come up as they're coming up, what do you think about all this stuff that goes on today?
I think it's great because, for me, rock and roll has got to continue. Young people have got to come along. That's what I was saying earlier. I hope there was someone up that front row looking down, a new young Johnny Lodge going to be a musician, a rock and roll, whatever. But it's really important, that young people have their own music, Hopefully they'll come and find me in the Moody Blues as well, if they wander through all the young new guys. But it's really important, and as long as all the musicians and the artists are truthful, mm-hmm. so that young people can associate truthfulness with them and not run off in the wrong direction.
Mm. Do you have any advice, anything that you learned the hard way that you'd share with somebody coming up?
Work hard. Work hard. You've got to. We had a saying in England, it was called tread the boards. And that meant the more you work, the better you understand what's going on. And also, more importantly, it makes you decide whether you really want to do it. Because it is hard work, a lot of traveling, a lot of times when you wish you were at home, a lot of things you miss. But if you do it right, your family come along with you and they enjoy it with you because you're being truthful.
Mm. Anything on the bucket list?
I've never had a bucket list.
No.
Everyone says to me, John, did you ever dream about all this? Mm-hmm. And I say,
you're
no.
You're living your dreams.
I never, ever, ever dreamt about any of this. All I wanted to do was play my bass and sing and be on stage. Or it didn't matter whether it was 20 people or whatever. That's what I wanted to do, and I just kept my head down doing this. And it's taken me on this unbelievable journey. And things have happened you could never, ever have dreamt of. It's not possible to have dreamed what has gone on. Hmm. Not
well,
possible.
Your hair looks as great today as it did 50 years ago. John Lodge is in our studios, and we're going to bring back some memories now, Moody Blues style. And if you wouldn't mind doing another song for us.
Yeah, we'd like to do Isn't Life Strange?
One, two, three, four.
Isn't life strange? A turn of the page can read like before. Can we ask for more? Each day passes by. How hard man will try. The sea will not wait. You know it makes me want to cry. Wish I could be in your arms to be one with your love. Wish I could be in your eyes, looking back where you were. And here we are.
Whoa. Woo. Goosebumps. People standing around the world right now. What an honor and pleasure to hear that song live with the guy who sang it, singing it in front of us today. So thank you, John Lodge, for being a part of the show and bringing the great music to the world. You've traveled the world several times over, I'm sure, and performed. And there isn't anybody on the planet that doesn't know your music. And when you perform in concert, you must see the different generations of fans.
It's incredible. It is incredible. And, you know... when we first came to America on tour, we made a lot of friends, and they've stayed with us. And I think it's some, you know, a truthful emotion between people. But they've introduced their children and their children and everything else. But a lot of young people have come, as I was saying earlier, by having their own music and then saying, okay, we've got our own music, where do we go now? They've looked deeper and found the Moody Blues.
And you can find them on a cruise ship, I guess, right? You're doing another cruise in January?
Yeah, another cruise in January with a whole lot of friends on there. The Zombies are on there, oh. And Jefferson Starship, and a whole lot of people. It's Festival on the Ice, High Seas. And, you know, when they asked us to do one of these years ago, I thought, I'm not too sure about being on a cruise. And they said, no, you've got the wrong idea. It's a Moody Blues cruise. It's a floating festival, music festival, where there's music going on everywhere, and it really is. And the first year we did it, I remember at midnight walking across the top deck and across the Caribbean. There wasn't a cloud anywhere, stars and the moon, Moody Blues music going across the seas. And I thought, yeah, there's everybody sitting there, relaxing, having a great time. And I thought, that's what it's all about. If we all come together, you know, I wrote the song, I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. But the very last line, I say, we're all just singers in a rock and roll band. Because I think we're all the same, you know. We're, there's an audience and us on stage. But when we get together, we're all Moody Blues that night.
Wow. So the album is called 10,000 Light Years Ago. And how about the next album? What's the plan for the next album?
Well, it's the album's 10,000 Light Years Ago, but we've just released the DVD of the Birmingham concert,
yes,
which is live from Birmingham. It's not only a DVD about the concert. We've got a whole year of other things going on. We did an acoustic concert at Hampton Court, home of Henry VIII. Everyone wants to know that. We did the launch in Joe's Pub in New York, and some behind-the-scenes video. So it's a great fun of looking at how everything builds up to become the concert, you know. It's interesting. And also I'm releasing it on double vinyl.
Ooh.
Yeah, with a gatefold sleeve, so everyone can have a look, see who played what, see who did what, and red vinyl as well, red vinyl, something new for me, 180 gram. And so I hope everyone enjoys it.
And the industry is kind of like cyclical. It's going around in a full cycle because back in the day there were singles on 45s, and now everybody can buy singles again, digitally, but you can buy singles.
Yeah, you buy singles. And going back to that, I was talking about Buddy Holly and the Crickets. My first record I bought was That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly and the Cricket. But in England, they're on 78s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 78s. And I've got a jukebox from 1945, a Wurlitzer 1015. And that record is on that jukebox and still in pristine condition, because you never touch them when they're on a jukebox.
And you didn't do that with the Stylus.
You never have to break them, that's right. You never have to find that first groove.
Are you bringing Christmas music back for the holidays? You guys going to break out some of the Christmas tunes? I know you recorded some Christmas music.
Yeah, we recorded an album called December. We had a lot of Christmas songs on there, and some traditional ones, and then some new ones we wrote. And I like that. I enjoy that Christmas period, you know. Hope everyone can bring a lot of goodwill around the world. That's the main thing.
And you're going to be with your family, I'm sure, on Christmas.
Yes,
and grandkids.
Always. We've done that from the beginning. Yeah, the mood is one of the things you ask me what I suggest to people. If you're in a band, guys or girls, major holidays and things like that, keep them separate so that you can enjoy something together.
That's a pearl of wisdom right there from a guy who knows. So where can people get the new album? On your websites and stuff like that?
Yeah, on the website. Amazon, of course.
Mm-hmm. iTunes.
Amazon, iTunes. On the website, johnlodge.com and moodybluestoday.com. And Chris Emma, we've got our own website.
That's
for
right.
The wine, of
for
course,
wine.
So it's on there.
You can drink the wine and listen to the music.
Drink the wine and listen to the music. Yeah, it's good fun.
And so how about social media? Do you do that as well?
Yeah, I
where
tweet.
Can people find you?
John Lodge Music, my tweet account, and Facebook. But nearly everything's my son runs my website, johnlodge.com. So you can always find me on there.
All right. Well, thank you, John, for coming on the show.
Larry,
and thank you all for joining us today.
Thank
you so much. What an honor to meet you and a pleasure to have you guys here. And you sound great. Look forward to seeing you the next time you're in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
John Lodge has been our guest, and this is Border Crossings. Thanks for watching.
In white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth. I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you. Gazing at people, some hand in hand. Just what I'm going. can understand. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. And I love you.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Thank you.
tasty.
It's Border Crossings. And thank you for your requests. Mohammed in Ghana wanted us to play that Bob Marley song. Before that, we heard a Moody Blues classic, the song that John Lodge referenced as his favorite Moody Blues song, Nights in White Satin. And that was a request from Tarek Mahmoud, who is listening to us in Kuwait, originally from Egypt. So, Tarek, thank you very much for listening to Border Crossings and for supporting our show. And I hope that you enjoyed your Nights in White Satin from the Moody Blues. John Lodge, what a pleasure to meet him. What a great guy, and what a lot of fun to talk to him and to have all these legends on the show. We had Dolly Parton on a couple weeks ago, and soon we're going to be having Kenny Rogers on the show as well. So it's certainly an honor for me to be able to bring you all of these great, tremendously talented musicians, both the legends and the newbies as well. We've got one more request to play before we wrap things up for today's show. This is a request from a new listener, Masakoi. Masakoi is tuned in Nigeria to the show and requested Childish Gambino. And this one channels Prince a little bit. This is called Redbone on Border Crossings.
I used to know, but now that don't feel right.
Border Crossing's Childish Gambino, whose real name is Donald Glover. He's an actor who also sings, and he has said his latest album will be his last because he wants to focus on acting. He stars in a TV show called Atlanta. He also had starred on 30 Rock and some other shows and films like The Martian and Magic Mike and Spider-Man and such like that. So he wants to keep focused on his acting career. Masakwai in Nigeria, Childish Gambino with Redbone on Border Crossings. And before I go for the weekend, I do want to say hello to Brian Cabasso, who's in Nakonde, Sasika Dulshan, who tunes into the show, Surity Surity. I heard from Zeman. And Nellis Tete is with us as well. Thank you for your messages. Fira All, Maha Null, also tuned in to Border Crossings and checked in on our Facebook page. Havana is back. Thank you, Havana. Havana listens to us in Denmark. Bartle Bart Horvat in Croatia, Vincent Maloba, Ria Lorvin, A. and Donna Pever, Naka, Emmanuels, Esther Voss, Costa Ben Steven. Thank you for going to Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Again, thanks to our crew, Ted and Carl, and thanks to our engineer, Wagner, and our director, Vince, and thanks to you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed John Lodge. Remember, you can go to voanews.com and click on radio programs, and you can listen to the show again. I'm Larry London. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. This is Border Crossings on the VOA 1 Music Network. We need.